Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It's Thursday, October 6th, and I'm your host, Eric Steven, and it is officially playoff season. The regular season is over. The Dodgers play next in the Division Series, which doesn't start until 5 days from now on Tuesday, October 11th. So we have some time. So today's episode is mostly going to be about sort of celebrating the regular season, which was a record-setting one for the Dodgers. And yeah, it was a good season overall. I don't know how else to say it. So they won on Wednesday in the series finale, the season finale, snapped a three-game losing streak to the Rockies. They won Wednesday to win their 111th game, which is a franchise record, of course. It is the second most wins ever by a National League team. It is the tied for the fourth most wins by a Major League team. The Cleveland in 1954 also won 111 in fewer games. The 06 Cubs, the 2001 Mariners, each won 116. That's the 1906 Cubs, in case you were misremembering and thought they may have done that in 2006. No, it was 1906. But and then the 1998 Yankees won 114. So this Dodger team is up there in the pantheon of, like, great regular seasons. They outscored opponents by 334 runs, which is the best run differential since integration. It's the fourth highest since 1900. Pretty much everywhere you slice it, the Dodgers are really good. Their winning percentage was .685. That beats out the 1899 Brooklyn Superbas and the 1953 Brooklyn Dodgers, both of which were .682, as the best winning percentage over a full season in Dodgers history. I say full season because the Dodgers were 43-17 in the pandemic truncated 2020 season. That was at .717, but over a full season, this is the best the Dodgers have ever done. Find it really hard to fathom 111 wins. You don't see that too often, and I think it's something definitely to be appreciated. They go into the postseason in a it's weird because there are certain times this year where you don't think it would have been possible for them to win 111 games. Like they missed, like Walker Buehler went down in June, ended up needing surgery to repair both flexor tendon and Tommy John surgery. So he's out this year and probably all of next year too. So that was a huge bummer. And he was, you know, one of their trusted like playoff aces. He was a multiple time game one starter for them in recent years. Got Cy Young votes last year. Just really good. They were without Clayton Kershaw for 2 months on different stints on the injured list. And that's a little of that is to be expected, but still like there were times when you're thinking, well, how are they going to sort of work around this? Tony Gonsolin having like a dream season. He ended up missing 6 weeks with a forearm strain. He is back now, although somewhat limited in that he's not stretched out, although he did look pretty good the other day. It seems like Gonsolin is going to start one of the NLDS games as long as he's healthy. What the Dodgers are going to do over the next, you know, this coming weekend, I believe Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the same days as the wild card series are going on. They're going to have inter-squad games at Dodger Stadium. So you're basically getting the guys who need the go-between between their last regular season start and later in the NLDS when they might pitch. So your Tyler Anderson's, your Tony Gonsolin's, probably relievers getting some work in. You have Blake Treinen trying to work his way back from the injured list. Dustin May trying to work his way back from the injured list. Various hitters trying to stay ready and all that sort of stuff. They're bringing up some minor leaguers around to sort of fill out those games. So it should be interesting to see what sort of transpires over then over that. But if you sort of, Dave Roberts has said if Gonsolin's healthy, he's going to start in the NLDS. So you figure Tyler Anderson's a game three guy. They haven't named game one and game two yet, but they're in a pretty good spot. I think it's either going to be, I think it should be Julio Urias in game one and Kershaw in game two. You couldn't really argue either way. Like, it wouldn't be the worst choice if Kershaw's game one and Urias is game two. They haven't announced it yet. Dave Roberts is being a little bit cagey, talking about the way the series is set up. Game one starter would go on game five on regular rest. There's really no other opportunity for, under the old school format, there'd be two off days in the series, so you can pitch one starter on short rest in game four and then have the game two starter on regular rest in game five. Can't do that this year. But what you can do, which Roberts mentioned, is have your game two starter ready in relief in game five if you want him. So that's sort of like the main argument for not having Urias in game one, I think. However, I would argue that Urias has earned the right to remain a starter and that the Dodgers have a strong enough bullpen to not have to use him in relief and sort of mess him up. Not that it necessarily might mess him up, but I think sometimes they get too cute with that. And I think he's earned the right to start every game. And I just think if they don't have him in game one, they're overthinking it. So I think he should start in game one. And Kershaw in game two, and then you just have Urias in game five. And, you know, it's okay to not pitch Kershaw in relief in that and just have him ready to go in the next series. You know, I guess the best solution to all of this is just win before five games, I guess. But before we get to sort of how they're set up there, first on Wednesday, Clayton Kershaw looked really good. He struck out 9 in 5 innings. He allowed 1 run, a home run. Left in a tie game, although in the bottom of the inning, the Dodgers took the lead. So Kershaw, since his return from the injured list, this is the second stint on the injured list with lower back pain. He is 5-0 in 7 starts. The Dodgers won 6 of those games. He has a 1.54 ERA with 49 strikeouts and 8 walks in 41 innings. Now, if you remember, 3 of those walks came in the very first inning in his first game back, a very rare occurrence for Kershaw in New York there. Walked in a run that inning. But then since then, he's just been basically lights out. And it's really remarkable given that you know, where he's at now compared to where he was at last year. Last year, he tried to make his way back to pitch in October, and then in his last regular season start, he sort of he didn't blow out his elbow, but he basically knew he couldn't pitch at that point, so his season was over. So it was a huge bummer for him. Compared to where he's at now, where he looks incredibly strong. Now, Dave Roberts, post-game on Wednesday, was asked, I believe Jack Harris asked this of the LA Times, about what did Roberts think how Kershaw is pitching now is basically possible, given how they felt when he got hurt on August 4th in San Francisco. This is Dave Roberts' answer, which was shown on Sportsnet LA.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I think it's surprising considering the state we were in watching him come off the mound in San Francisco. It didn't look good at all. And so to get him back was something that was only a hope at that point in time. And then to get him back and to pitch the way he has is icing on the cake. And so you can't ever kind of underestimate him, but sometimes your body just doesn't respond. But the training staff, the doctors, everyone, Clayton included, has done everything they can to get him back and consistent and pitching well. So really happy for him.
So, yeah, I mean, Dodgers are well set up with either whether they go Urias or Kershaw game one or two. Both are excellent. Urias has had a sub-1 ERA for over 2 months at this point. He ended up leading the league in ERA on the season. This is where the Dodgers are at if they set it up the way I think they're going to set it up. Urias, game one starter, 2.16 ERA in 175 innings. Kershaw, game two, 2.28 ERA in 126 and a third innings this year. Game three, probably Tyler Anderson, 2.57 ERA in 178 and two-thirds innings. Tyler Anderson led the Dodgers in innings this year. Didn't start the season in the rotation. Another remarkable season. Tony Gonsolin, a game four starter, possibly limited to like three or four innings. But him, he still had a 2.14 ERA in 130 and a third innings. So that is as formidable as it gets. They are in a very good spot. We'll talk a little bit more about what else happened on Wednesday and then what to look forward to this weekend with the Wild Card Series after the break.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So the Dodgers have some pitching decisions to make. I think we've talked about this ad nauseum. Blake Treinen and Dustin May are the two injured pitchers who are sort of the ones to watch. Neither, I think, have a spot locked up or anything, but perhaps Dustin May seems like he's the most likely of those two to be added, but it really just depends on how they feel this weekend. Game one is not till next Tuesday. The rosters don't need to be submitted till 10 a.m. on the day of game one, although they'll probably make the decision the day before, if not maybe even sooner. So they'll have an idea, but they do have some options. The position player side, Chris Taylor is the one sort of working his way back from injury. He had cortisone shot in his neck Monday. He seems to be doing okay, although he didn't play in the last five games of the season. I think as long as he feels fine, he's probably going to be on the roster, even if he's not like ready to go full bore in like the first game or two, because I think they'll use him later in the series if that. So, but other than that, you know, we've talked about this before, like I guess last position player spot is probably some sort of a choice, whether they stick with Miguel Vargas or Hanser Alberto, who knows? But I will. The one thing the Dodgers did say on Tuesday night, in sort of a Joey Gallo homered on Tuesday, so I think that was the thrust of the question. But it wasn't necessarily asked about his roster status or anything. But it was just the way he was talked about, or maybe it was. But Dave Roberts just brought out, "Oh yeah, he'll be on the playoff roster," like it was matter of fact. So any, and I think just given the way he was used, I think he's started like 17 of the last 21 or 22 games against a righty this year. It's even though he doesn't always go complete games, they pinch hit for him at some point. He has a role, and it's to bash the occasional home run, draw the occasional walk, play some outfield. Obviously, he struck out a lot, had a down year overall, but I don't think it's that big of news that he's going to be on the playoff roster. It's just I didn't expect Dave Roberts to come out and say it when they're usually cagey about that kind of stuff. We'll talk a little bit more about the roster sort of later on. But on Wednesday, it was the end of the regular season, so there were some sort of, milestones, both team-wise and individually. We talked about what the team did. The Dodgers also led the National League. They led the majors in runs scored and fewest runs allowed. It's the fifth year in a row they've done both of those in the National League, and they're the first team ever to do that. The 1936 to 1939 Yankees did so 4 years in a row, but the Dodgers are the first one to do it five. They're really good, turns out. But Freddie Freeman was gunning for a batting title. His 0-for-12 skid from Sunday to Tuesday hurt him because Jeff McNeil passed him. Jeff McNeil sat out on the final day of the season, and Freddie Freeman needed to go 4-for-4. He almost did it. He doubled, homered, and singled, went 3-for-4. Ended up hitting 325. Jeff McNeil hit 326. Freeman did get his 100th RBI later in the game. Trey Turner hit a three-run homer to get his 100th RBI. So that was a neat little thing. Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts tied atop the NL run scored leaderboard with 117. Freddie Freeman led the majors in hits, 199, and doubles, 47. That is the tied for the fourth most in a season in Dodgers history, the doubles total. Freeman did lead the National League in on-base percentage at .407. First Dodger to lead in that category since Pedro Guerrero in 1985. We talked yesterday about Julio Urias ended up leading the league in ERA, and I think he should be the number one starter, even if they haven't announced it yet. But that's for another show, I'm sure. But yeah, just a pretty special season. Obviously, they want to win in October, but I think you can take the time out to appreciate how incredible winning 111 games is, because you're probably never going to see it again. Then again, when the Dodgers won 106 games in 2019, I wasn't sure you were going to see that again, and then they did it again in 2021. And then they won 111 this year, so who knows? Who knows what to expect anymore, but yeah, just an incredible season. Have some days off here to unwind, watch some stress-free baseball. Dodgers will play the winner of Padres versus Mets. Game one of the NLDS is next Tuesday. That's all for us today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had a good season.